and we'll read these verses responsively. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let's pray. Father, of course, we're anxious about today. We will, of course, project ourselves into the evening service and rejoice about the victories that you'll give today. But right now, there's business to be done. Meet with us, we pray, in thy Holy Spirit power. We pray for thy blessing to rest upon this service, and of course the many other services being conducted around the area. But meet with us here, in this place, with these people, and do some great things in our presence, and we'll praise thee in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our Heavenly Father, I pray you'd bless me as I speak and the dear people as they hear. And I pray that real spiritual business shall be transacted in this room today. Please. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me say before I begin speaking, those of you who are visiting with us, I rarely ever speak an evangelistic type of message. The sermon that I'm going to preach this morning is not at all indicative of the type of sermons that I preach Sunday morning here at First Baptist. I preach sermons of comfort, instruction, encouragement, challenge, and so forth. This morning I'm going to ask you to do me a big favor and listen to me, and I promise you again I will not offend you. In fact, if you will listen to me, I'd be more than happy for us to agree that you will never join our church. That's the least thing in my mind this morning. Or, if you want to go a step further than that, I'd be happy to agree that you'd never come back to our church again if you'll just listen to me carefully for the next few moments. You will hear a better preacher than I, time and time again. You will never hear a more sincere man than you're hearing this morning as I bring the message that I bring today. So listen carefully and relax. Nobody's going to offend you or hurt you. We all have something in common. Now, we came this morning from different type homes and different type vehicles. We wear different type clothing. We have different type professions. But there's one thing that every person in this room has in common. In fact, three things. Number one is, we would like to find out that there is a heaven. Everybody, if you don't believe in God, you would love to believe that there was some place where you could go. That's where there's no disease and no pain and no sorrow and no suffering and no death. And you could live forever in a state of happiness and bliss. Now, all of us have that in common. And you say, well, Hiles, I don't. Oh, yes, you do. I was talking to a man one time, and he said, I don't believe in all that pie-in-the-sky stuff that you preach. I said, but don't you wish you could? He replied in tears, I'd give anything in the world if I could believe what you believe, that there is a heaven. Now, there's one thing that all of us have in common. We don't want to die, and we wish there were some place or we could live in happiness forever. Now, the second thing we have in common is this. If we believe there was a heaven, we'd like to go. If we could believe that there were a place called heaven where there's no disease and no sin and no heartache and no suffering and no death, all of us would like to go. Now, we have that in common today. If you're a Baptist or a Presbyterian or a Catholic or a Lutheran or a Methodist or an Assembly of God, it doesn't matter who you are. We all have that in common. We would like to believe that there is a heaven, and if we believed it, we'd like to go there. Now, the third thing we have in common, and that is this. If we did believe that there were a heaven, and that we could go there, we would do whatever is necessary to go there. If you felt today that you could live forever, in a house in heaven, and it cost you $100,000, if you were convinced, you'd go out in the bank and you'd borrow the money and or mortgage your own house, and you'd start paying off the $100,000 to get you a home in heaven. Now, this morning, I'm going to be honest with you. I want to do three things in the next 3 hours. I want to do three things now. Number one is, I want to convince you that there's a heaven. Now, I'm being honest with you. I'm being fair. I want to convince you before I sit down in about 30 minutes. I want to convince you that there is a heaven. Now, the second thing I want to do this morning is I want to show you how to get there. And not the Baptist way, not the Presbyterian way, not the Christian Reformed way, but just what the Bible says about how to get there. Third thing I want to do, first I want to convince you there's a heaven. Secondly, I want to show you plainly how to get there. And thirdly, I want to persuade you to prepare to go to heaven. I'm not going to persuade you to be a member of First Baptist Church or even be a Baptist. You don't have to be a Baptist to go to heaven or anything else to go to heaven, but I want to try to persuade you to do what you have to do to go to heaven. You will not be asked, as I said before, to join our church. You will not be asked to become a Baptist. In fact, you can't join our church today. I am closing the doors of our membership today. You cannot join First Baptist Church of Hammond today. If you walk down this aisle and want to join by transfer membership, you have to come back tonight. We're not going to let you join our church today. I'm trying to show you the sincerity of the simple message that I'm going to preach. Now, okay. First, I want to tell you the reasons I believe in heaven. Number one, I have met three people who've been there. I have met three people in my life who died, went to heaven, and came back. It was in Henderson, Texas the first time. I went into a place, a little service station, the old-fashioned type service station. The man who ran the station was named Ashby. And I said, "Mr. Ashby, do you know that if you died, you'd go to heaven?" And Mr. Ashby said, "Reverend, I've been there." He described to me what he saw in heaven. 509 miles away, in the northwest city, Texas city of Amarillo, a city of 100,000 people or so, I walked in one day to a cleaner's to put some suit in the cleaning establishment, and the fellow who came to wait on me was a very courteous man. I said, "Sir, do you know if you died, you'd go to heaven?" And he said, "I've been there. I died. I went to heaven. I was revived. And I came back." He told me what he saw. Exactly what he said is what the fellow said 509 miles away. They'd never met each other. They'd never talked to each other. 509 miles separated them. And yet the man in Amarillo, Texas, told me exactly what he saw. And he's the same thing that the fellow in Henderson, Texas saw. Over 1,000 miles away in a little city called Struthers, Ohio, near the Pennsylvania line, I was out one day knocking on some doors. I came to an elderly man, and he was a preacher, an older preacher, real old, real old, probably 71 or so. But he was an older preacher, and he was mad. And I said, "Why are you angry, sir?" He said, "Because I died and went to heaven." And he pointed the nurse up there, and he said, "This gal right here, I hate her. She brought me back." He said, "I died. I went to heaven, and I was this nurse brought me back, and I'm mad. I wanted to stay." I said, "What did you see in heaven?" And this preacher told me exactly what the man in Henderson, Texas, told me, and exactly what the man in Amarillo, Texas, told me. These three people, living hundreds of miles apart, all three died, went to heaven, came back, and told me what they saw, and in every case, they coincided. Now, the second reason I believe in heaven is that my mama saw it and told me what she saw. My mother went to heaven in 1984. The night before she went to heaven, I was out to the clinic at Hiles Anderson College, and mother told me, she said, "Son, I'm going to heaven." And all of a sudden, she looked up and she said, "There's Uncle Harvey and Aunt Jimmy, my mother's sister and brother-in-law." And she said, "Jack, there's Uncle Roy and Enochte, her brother and sister-in-law. And there's Uncle Basil and Aunt Gera, another brother and sister-in-law." And then my mother began to shout, and she said, "Son, looky there. There's Loreen. There's my little girl who died when she was 7 years of age. She never walked or talked. She was a spastic child. and never got out of bed. Son, there's Loreen, your sister, and she's running, son. She's normal. And there's Hazel, my other little child that died of the after effects of the measles when she was 7. And there's Hazel and Loreen. And my mother did something that embarrassed the fire out of me. She said, Hazel and Loreen, this is your brother Jack. And she said, Jack, this is your, these are your sisters, Hazel and Loreen. Good night, one sister's too many, and now I got to meet the other two. By the way, I'm glad to see my sister back. Where is she? She's back in the service this morning. But she said, my mother said, Hazel and Loreen, meet your brother Jack. And Jack, meet your sisters, Hazel and Loreen. I didn't know what to say. I couldn't see anybody, thank God. But I couldn't see anybody, and so I just said, hi, hello. But my mother saw him. And then my mother said, son, can you see him? And I said, who, mother? And she said, there's Jesus right there. Can't you see him? And my mother saw Jesus when she was on her deathbed and told me. She saw Hazel, Loreen, Uncle Roy, and Octa, Uncle Basil, Aunt Gera, Uncle Harvey, Aunt Jimmy. She saw him. Now, my mother happens to be an honest woman. And don't you tell me that there's no heaven or I'll punch you out. You'll call my mother a liar. My mother saw heaven and told me what she saw. I believe in heaven because I've seen 3 people who told me they went there and they did not know each other and lived hundreds of miles apart and their stories coincided. I believe in heaven because my mother saw it and told me that she saw heaven. I believe in heaven, number 3, because man has the desire to go there. Now listen carefully to me. I want to logic with you. There is not one appetite that God has given to man that he has not given him the fulfillment and satisfaction for. Man has been given a God-given appetite for food, of hunger. And God has given him food to fulfill that appetite and satisfy that appetite. God has given to man an appetite for a thirst. And God has given a man water to quench that thirst. God has given a man an appetite for romantic love. And God has provided marriage for that appetite to be satisfied. There's not one single appetite that God has given to man that God has not given the satisfaction for that appetite. Now, I don't care what civilization it is, folks. If you don't tamper with them, they believe there's a heaven somewhere. You go to the most savage tribes in the world today, or the most primitive type people in the world, and they all believe that there is some place out yonder. They may call it the happy hunting grounds. They may call it the reincarnation. But there is something in the breast of man, an appetite for life after death. Now, God has never given a man an appetite that God did not give him the satisfaction and fulfillment of. I believe in heaven because I've seen 3 people who've been there. I believe in heaven because my mother told me what she saw. I believe in heaven because God gives a satisfaction for every appetite. Number 4, I believe in heaven because the Bible says it. I happen to believe that this book is the divine Word of God. I happen to believe that the words of this book came from heaven and they're God's words inspired and preserved for us until this day. And my Bible said, in fact, my Savior said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Ladies and gentlemen, this book doesn't need proving. Every once in a while somebody comes up and says, well, we've proved the Bible's the Word of God. No, we proved you had some sense. The Bible is already the Word of God. And my Bible says there's a heaven. And I, John, saw the holy city coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. Read Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 22. You'll find a city there that's 1,500 miles long and 1,500 miles wide and 1,500 miles high. It's called heaven. That's how big heaven is. Heaven is 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. It has gates of pearl. It has walls of all kinds of beautiful stone. It has streets of gold, a river of life, a tree of life. It's all in the Bible. So, I believe there's a heaven. Now then, if I believe there's a heaven, I want to know how to get there. So listen carefully. When Jesus finished saying, "In my Father's house are many mansions," if it were not so, I would have told you, Thomas, one of the disciples, said, "How can we know the way?" Listen to me. Look at me. How can we know the way? Jesus said, "I am the way. I am the way." And he goes on to say, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Turn me down just a tad, please, fellas. Amen. Turn me down and say, "I am the way." Now get this. "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Now Jesus didn't say, "I am a way." He said, "I am the way." That means there's one way to heaven, and that's Jesus. All right? Now that means that Jack Hiles is not the way. If Jesus said, "I am the way," that means that no preacher is the way, and no rabbi is the way, and no priest is the way, and First Baptist Church is not the way. That means that being baptized is not the way. Jesus said he was the way. That means the Baptist denomination is not the way. That means communion is not the way. That means joining the church is not the way. That means living a good life is not the way. That means the sacraments are not the way. That means confirmation is not the way. That means just belief in God is not the way. Jesus said, nobody's going to get to those mansions in the sky except by me. Jesus said, "I am the way." Now follow me carefully. Exactly how is Jesus the way? Now you'll never forget this. Exactly how is Jesus the way? All right? One time in the Bible, the question is asked, "What must I do to be saved?" Now, ladies and gentlemen, when the Apostle Paul answered this question, and God gave it to us, this has got to be the answer. A fellow asked the question, "What must I do to be saved?" And God, to the Apostle Paul, said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Now, listen carefully to me. Don't you trust that Baptist tree up there to take you to heaven. And don't you trust that communion table there to take you to heaven. And don't you trust this great church here to take you to heaven. And don't you trust this sincere preacher here to be able to forgive or absolve your sins or take you to heaven. And don't trust anybody but Jesus to take you to heaven. Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Now, what does it mean to believe? The word "believe" is the word in the Greek, which is, you folks that know any Greek at all know, it's the word pistuo. We'd spell it P-I-S-T, maybe E-U-A, or P-I-S-T-O, T-U-O, pistuo. Let me tell you what it means. I walk up to this chair here this morning. Now, let's walk up to this one over here. This one's holding more weight here. I walk up this chair this morning, and Brother Colston says, "Brother Hiles, would you have a seat?" Now, I believe that chair will hold me. But that's not what this kind of belief is in Acts 16:31. The word "believe" means to roll oneself upon. To believe this chair will hold me is not this kind of belief. But to sit down in this chair and put my weight on this chair, that's the kind of belief he's talking about. When you believe that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross and paid the penalty for your sins, and you sit down, as it were, roll your eternity on Jesus Christ, God says you'll be saved. Tomorrow morning, I'll be flying on an airplane, as I do most every week. And I'm going to Dallas, Texas on an airplane tomorrow morning. His house is going with me. And because it's our home state, and we love to go to the Holy Land every once in a while and visit. We're going now. What we'll do, we'll get on the airplane, and we will not know that man up there in the cockpit. We won't know him. But we're trusting him to get us to Dallas, Texas. I think I'll tell you a story. Our people have heard this, but you visitors haven't, and this is worth your coming for. We used to have a man up there in the PA room named Ray Newton. Ray Newton was a pilot for United Airlines. Well, I fly a couple hundred thousand miles a year on airplanes, and I fly United more than any other airline. By the way, I fly United so much that I am a premier executive on United Airlines, which means you didn't hear that, did you? I said, I am a premier executive on United Airlines. Did you ever think you'd meet personally a premier executive on United Airlines? Now, that means that I can upgrade to first class anytime I want to. Now, first class is where you get a wider seat and two packages of peanuts. But I was on the airplane. By the way, I was flying to Dallas. And I often wondered, why haven't I ever flown with Ray Newton? He's one of our deacons. He was our PA man. He was a pilot for years, the United Airlines. He's in heaven now. But I couldn't. And lo and behold, I was flying to Dallas, and don't miss this, there was the name up there, Pilot Captain Ray Newton. Man alive, I said, finally I'm getting to fly with Ray. I walked up, put my hand in my pocket like this, like I had a gun. I opened the door to the cockpit and said, this is a stick-up. Dawned on me, I was not on United Airlines. I was on American Airlines. And they also had a Ray Newton who was a pilot. I did my best preaching. I talked my way out of jail. I'll tell you, but I really had a long talk. But now, you see, the thing's going to get me to Dallas. I can stand outside that plane, get baptized 50 times, and not get to Dallas. I've got to trust that airplane and that pilot. I can get confirmed, and I can take communion, and I can live a good life, and I can join every church there is, but I'm not going to get to Dallas till I get inside that plane and sit down and fasten my safety there and trust that plane. And when Jesus said, I am the way to heaven, he was saying, someday in your life, you've got to realize that I am the Savior, and you've got to personally trust me as your hope for heaven. Jesus himself told us about one man that went to heaven. It's called the thief on the cross. And Jesus said about him, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Well, listen, hey, I want to find out what he did. I mean, Jesus said, today you're going to join me in paradise. Jesus himself said this man was going to spend eternity in heaven. I want to find out what he did. He didn't join the church because he was a thief on a cross. He couldn't join the church. He couldn't take communion because his hands were nailed to a cross. He couldn't live a good life because his life was over. He couldn't be baptized because he was nailed to a cross. What did he do? Listen carefully. Listen. All your preconceived notions and all of your preconceived ideas and all of your training or teaching that you've been taught, listen, he simply said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He was trusting Jesus Christ to take him to heaven. That's all he did. He had no last rites. He had no absolution. He had no baptism. He had no communion. Ladies and gentlemen, listen. Don't let your soul die without Christ and miss heaven because of some preconceived idea. Take the Bible. Jesus said, I am the way. You this morning will say what that thief on the cross said, knowing he was a sinner, and knowing that Jesus was the Son of God, and by the way, you believe the resurrection of Christ because he believed Jesus was going to be in the kingdom. If you this morning, listen carefully, if you would say this morning, Jesus, I trust you as my Savior, knowing that I'm a sinner, that I deserve to go to hell, but thank God I don't have to, and I receive you as my Savior this morning. That moment, every sin can be forgiven. And that moment, your name can be written down in heaven. And that moment, God will reserve a mansion in heaven for you, and it'll be yours as long as eternity lasts. Please listen to me. I'm coming to some very serious territory right now. Don't miss this. Don't miss it. Let me warn you. Please, let me warn you. There is a line drawn over which you cannot be saved. If you think that you can just wait till you die and on your deathbed you can come to Christ, you've got another thing coming. Here your life is. Out yonder somewhere, I do not know where. There is a line. I don't know where it is. But that line is drawn, and when you cross over that line, from that moment forward, you will never have a chance to be saved. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 24, it says, God gave them up. Are you listening? God gave them up. Now, one of these days, you're going to hear the gospel for the last time and say no, and God's going to say, okay, I'll knock on somebody else's door, and I'll not knock on your door anymore. In Romans 1:26, it says, God gave them up. In Romans 1:28, it says, God gave them over. In Genesis 6:3, my spirit will not always strive with man. In Ephesians 4:19, who being past feeling have given themselves over. Hebrews 12:17 tells about a man named Esau. In the Bible says Esau found no place for repentance, though he sought it with tears. Esau cried to get saved, but he couldn't get saved. Why? He crossed the line. I was in seven times, it says, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Now listen carefully. Let me plead with you this morning. Let me beg you today. If you have the least desire to go to heaven, if there's just a little bit of a desire to go to heaven, and this morning you trust Jesus as your Savior, don't join this church if you don't want to. Don't ever come back if you don't want to. And you can miss First Baptist Church, but don't miss heaven. Whatever church you belong to, whether you go back to your own church or not, that's not the issue. But don't you let anybody tell you that anything can take you to heaven except Jesus Christ Himself. And don't take a chance. Years ago, I was preaching in my own church in Texas, Miller Road Baptist Church, Garland, Texas. One night, I was preaching a revival meeting, by the way, in my own church. And one night, two very distinguished middle-aged ladies walked in. Obviously, ladies of some means. The service ended, I went back and I said, ladies, do you know you're Christians? And one of them said, I can't become a Christian. I said, what do you mean? And she said, I can't become a Christian. She said, when I was a child, so they tried to get me to trust Jesus, and I didn't. And when I was a teenager, they tried to get me to trust Jesus, and I didn't. And when I was a young adult, they tried to get me to trust Jesus, and I didn't. She said, preacher, I can tell you the place and the time when I crossed over a line to which I can never get saved. She said, I heard you on the radio. I thought maybe if I came to your church, I might could get that feeling back again. But she said, it's gone. It's gone. And she began to scream, lost forever! Lost forever! Lost forever! Lost forever! Let me lovingly warn you, ladies and gentlemen, that God will not forever and ever and ever and ever keep the invitation to you. One day, the invitation will come for the last time. And you'll have crossed the line. Today, listen carefully, I'm through. Today is the best chance you'll ever have to get saved. More people will be saved. Listen to me. Sarah, listen to me. More people will be saved today than in any church in the history of Christianity. This is the best place to get saved. More people have trusted Christ in this auditorium than any room in the history of mankind. Over 750,000 people have walked the aisles in this building receiving Christ as Savior. Now, if you come to the best day to get saved and the best place to get saved, and you don't get saved, it just probably is the devil's got you already hooked up. Why don't you realize today that there's a heaven and that Jesus is the way? Nobody's trying to get in your pocketbook. Nobody's trying to get you in their church. Nobody's trying to build a great crowd. We have crowds already. We simply want you to go to heaven. Let me say it again. There is a heaven. Jesus is the way. You may trust Him and He'll take you to heaven. But one day, you'll cross a line and you'll never, never, never again have a chance to get saved.
Would you bow your heads, please?